Chris Renfrew represent the New Age Clique, the most dominant faction in UK wrestling history. You are listening to the Indie Combo, the best independent wrestling podcast in the UK today.
Welcome guys to episode 84 of the Indie Corner with myself, Stuart Rogers. This week we'll have reviews from Southside, thanks to Dave Green, and from Kamikaze Pro, thanks to Philip McCulloch. Also we'll have plenty of news and announcements from across the UK, including a big match for Birmingham's own Dynamite Pete Dunne. That'll come later on. Before we start, I just want to encourage you all to head over to theindiecorner.com to check out reviews from up in Scotland. There's Johnny McNabb reviews SWA's Aftermath, and Craig Hermit reviews Fierce Females, Priscilla, Queen of the Walkabout. So yeah, go over there and give them a look. Okay then guys, so what we'll do right now is just head into today's review of Southside's 4th anniversary show. Back in a bit guys.
Alright you bunch of mugs, it's the East End Butcher Shah Samuels, and you're listening to the Indie Corner.
Hi there, this is Dave Green, and I'm here on the Indie Corner podcast to give you my thoughts and opinions on this past Saturday night's Southside 4th anniversary show, which took place in Stevenage in front of a capacity crowd of 750 people. So this is my first ever Southside experience, here we go with the review. So we started off on a 7-match card. The opening match was a 6-way international elimination match for the Speed King Championship. The defending champion, or the Speed Queen Championship in this case, Kaylee Ray, the defending champion, with the challengers from all over the world, Rich Swan, El Ligero, Will Ospreay, Curry Man, and Robbie X, who was filling in for the injured Mark Andrews. So it started off with a lot of action, a lot of humour, a lot of dancing shenanigans inevitably between Rich Swan and Curry Man, which was a very entertaining start to the match. But all action, all over the place, a lot of dives, a lot of strikes, and a lot of action. Surprising first elimination in the match was the defending champion Kaylee Ray. There was a momentary standoff with El Ligero, who I understand has been teaming up with Kaylee Ray a lot in recent Southside events. There was a standoff between them where they nearly collided, and Rich Swan took advantage and rolled up Kaylee Ray for her elimination, which she didn't take very well at all. Next up for eliminations was Curry Man out via El Ligero's C4L. Then it was a Rich Swan, eliminated by Robbie X with his handspring springboard H-crusher move. Then Robbie X himself was eliminated via a combination springboard kick and Code Red Sunset Flip Powerbomb style move from Ospreay, and pinning him at El Ligero. And a great final flurry between Ligero and Ospreay before Ospreay hit the 630 senton off the top rope, pinning El Ligero and becoming the brand new Southside Speed King Champion. So, yeah, great, excellent opening matchup, which everyone really enjoyed and got a standing ovation. Next up was the first of 3 one-on-one matches involving a lot of the imports for this show. It started off as this one-on-one matchup between Styx and Chavo Guerrero. A lot of stalling at the beginning, which was covered up a very, very basic matchup. Chavo basically throughout the whole match was trying to hit the three Omega suplexes. It kept getting countered each time, including one moment where Styx countered very nicely into his single leg crab. But Chavo got to the ropes, eventually hitting the three Amigos and then finishing off Styx with the frog splash. So Chavo Guerrero winning over Styx. Next up was Martin Stone, who was taking the place of Mark Haskins in this matchup against the masterpiece Chris Masters. Pretty decent match. Visually, it was pretty impressive due to the fact that sweat was flying everywhere. Very sweaty wrestlers in this one. It was a decent big man match. As I say, both very equal. Equally sized, equally matched. Stone made the mistake of trying to put Masters in his own master lock for Nelson. But Masters reversed it and got the tap out win. Next up was the Money in the Bank briefcase holder, Joseph Connors, who's on a bit of a big push at the moment on the south side, and his challenge for tonight was against the veteran hardcore Holly. Quite a short match, this one, actually. Again, another very basic match, with Hardcore Holly getting his usual spots in. Not a huge amount to say about this one, really. Hardcore Holly surprisingly winning with his Alabama Slam. Three singles matches, all the imports winning. Wasn't majorly keen on that, especially with this last one, just because Joe's Corner seems to be getting a big push in Southside. So a bit of a surprising result. But regardless, the three singles matches, all quite similarly structured and booked, and not a lot of variety between the singles matches. But we come up to the fifth match, last match before the interval, was between the team of Martin Kirby and Party Monty Skull, who, of course, as we all know, is filling in for Chris Travis, against The Addiction, Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels. The match really helped the night come alive again, because this was a fantastic tag match. A lot of really humorous interaction between Skull, Kirby, and the crowd. The Addiction were on the mic and had a lot of did their catchphrases, and really went over the crowd with a lot of humour, a lot of action. Chris Daniels is still, to this day, at his age, is still putting it out there and still doing some fantastic work in that ring. The Addiction won with their new finisher on Marty Skull. It's sort of like a Kazarian flips him over into like back suplex position, but he flips him over, and then Daniels hits like a Codebreaker style move on the way down. It's difficult to describe, but it's an impressive looking finisher. But anyway, The Addiction wins, and a very classy statement. Chris Daniels gets on the mic and says that, points out that obviously the original match was supposed to be Project Ego with Chris Travis against The Addiction. And they say that when Travis gets better, they will have that match. So something to look forward to there, definitely. After the interval was the Southside Tag Team Championship match, one that I was really looking forward to. The London Riots challenging the Sumerian Death Squad. Very, very hard-hitting match. Very bizarre to see the Riots, who played the face role in this. Very weird to see them playing faces. Sort of smiling and almost like comedy moments in the match. At various points, but a great match, very stiff. Michael Dante and Tommy End, first time I've gotten to see them live as a team, and it was very stiff, brawling straight away, as you might expect, then settled down into a more regular tag match, but it ended in the end with a Tommy End spin kick knocking JD into a Michael Dante spear, which was a hellacious impact, and that was it. The Sumerian Death Squad retained the tag titles, but the London Riots really won over the Southside crowd as well. They got a nice chant going out of the ring. Then it was on to the first ever Southside 30-man rumble match. Won't go through every single part of this, because it'll take way too long, because the match was a good 50 to 55 minutes long. But some of the highlights in the match, my first is in Southside experience, so a lot of these guys I didn't necessarily know or had heard names of, and had seen it for the first time. So, for instance, Tyler Bate, who I came in about number four, number five, came in, and he immediately was very impressive, putting one of the gentlemen, I didn't catch the name of, into a fireman's carry, but then caught Chris Brooks coming off the top rope. So he's got one man in a fireman's carry and his giant swinging Chris Brooks at the same time. Only got about two revolutions, but even so, that's still very impressive. And then, almost even more impressively, hit a 10-second delayed suplex on the massive sticks, which is very, very impressive. So Tyler Bate, definitely one I am going to be looking forward to seeing in the future. T-Bone came out and cleaned house in the early portion of the match. Him and Martin Stone actually teamed up to eliminate a couple of people before Paul Malin finally came out and eliminated both of them. There was a mystery entrant into the Rumble, and at one point there was Paul Malin and Sticks in the ring, and the countdown happened, and then you suddenly hear that what was obviously Bon Jovi Living on a Prayer starting up. Everyone, including myself, is whispering, "Is it Spud? Is it Spud?" But out comes Rockstar Harry. Harry Auld, the son of the Southside owners, comes out as Rockstar Spud. Actually does get in the ring, and actually at one point actually hit a back senton on Sticks, which was very funny. But he did get out there very quickly, because he would have been killed otherwise. Martin Kirby, a big highlight, came out and basically just kicked everybody in the nuts, except for Paul Malin, who eliminated him quite swiftly. There was a lot of standout performers in the match, one I'll go on to later. But for me, standout performance was Ryan Smile. He came out immediately showing off his fantastic persona, and just everything he did in this match was incredible. He sold so well for everybody, hit some fantastic moves as well, but his selling and putting over everybody else's maneuvers was just incredible, and definitely want to see him more of him in other companies as well. Also, Nixon Newell was fantastic as well. First time I got to see her in action, and actually hit Ryan Smile at one point with a Canadian destroyer, which was very impressive to see. One of the sort of storyline developments in the match was Kaylee Ray, obviously after losing her title earlier in the night, came out to a much slower walk, very new demeanour in her, immediately attacked Nixon. At one point, actually did eliminate El Ligero, but because she was paying too much attention to that, she actually got knocked out by Ryan Smile. So there's obviously a storyline development between her and El Ligero in the works. The number 30 entrant was Joseph Connors, who caused a bit of controversy at the end, towards the end. Jimmy Havoc, who was eliminated by Paul Malin, came in and looked like he was about to attack Connors, who's been feuding with recently, and actually hit Paul Malin with a chair multiple times with a chair, and then hit everybody else that was in the ring in there with a chair as well, except for Joseph Connors. So Havoc, obviously, in the midst of a heel turn in Southside. But even so, Connors still managed to get himself eliminated by Paul Malin. So the final two in the end, though, were Robbie X, who had some another standout performer in the match, who had some very good near-elimination spots, including actually walking on a man at ringside to get back in the ring. And also Styx, who was the number one entrant. So he actually made it all the way through to the end. It's no mean feat. He was very impressive in this. But anyway, it was the final two, Robbie X and Styx, who have been feuding recently. And Robbie X finally managed to eliminate Styx after a number of near eliminations on the ring apron. Styx giving Robbie X a surprising handshake at the end. So maybe a face turn for him in the near future. But yeah, so that was my first Southside experience, their fourth anniversary show. Yeah, all the multi-man matches, I would say, really worth watching. Both the tag team matches, the opening six-way speaking match, and the Rumble itself. There's some great moments in that, and really well worked out match as well. The singles matches, again, they're very, very basic. You can see them probably at any other sort of big show anywhere in the country, really. But it's always good to see people like Chavo and Hunka Holly over here. Just a bit of a shame they didn't put over the British guys, but that's a debate for another time, I suppose. Anyway, I would heartily recommend checking out the show if you get the chance on DVD, definitely. So that's it for me. Thanks very much for listening. I'll hand it back to you, Stuart. Thanks very much.
This is Harvey Dale, the man with the golden tongue, and you're listening to the Indie Corner, the UK's number one independent wrestling podcast. Cocaine nose and trendy clothes, gotta send her to rehab. She found out she's got no soul, but it really doesn't bother her. White dress queen, American dream, oh, what a role model. Throwing a fit, making a scene, like no tomorrow.
Thanks to Dave for that. What we'll do now, guys, is read out a bit of the news, and then we'll go over to Philip McCulloch for the Kamikaze Pro review, and we'll do some more news. So yeah, TravAid, you know, there's two charity shows coming up in the aid of Chris Travis. The first is going to be on November the 16th up in Travis's hometown of Sheffield, under the direction of Harvey Dale. A bunch of matches have been announced, and they are as follows. We've got a six-way match with Robbie X taking on Ryan Smile, Styx, Dynamite Pete Dunne, Dan Maloney and Yestin Rees. Then we've got a match that's being billed as the least threatening triple threat match ever, as it will see Dave Rain go up against Flex Buffington and Sebastian Radclaw. There's an open challenge being set by Miss Viper, so as it sounds, you know, it's an open challenge and we don't know who that opponent is yet. We'll have to wait and see who turns up on the night. It's going to be a six-man tag match pitting Caleb Crowe, Mark Sanders and John Green going up against Sam Goodison, Don Black and Ryan Lee. There's going to be a 30-man rumble match. And what I believe is going to be the main event, you're going to see Chris's long-time tag team partner in Project Eagle, Martin Kirby, team up with Joey Hayes to take on Bubblegum and CJ Banks. So yeah, that's going to be you know, a great looking show. Also on the night is going to be a charity auction, which the Indie Corner has contributed to. So I hope everyone that's there on the night, you know, buys a raffle ticket and like I say, has a go of the auction where light the tickets from the night. All proceeds will be going to Chris himself. Tickets for this show can be purchased from over at ringsideworld.co.uk. So moving on to Hope Wrestling now. As just mentioned, Harvardale is, you know, promoting the first show in aid of Chris Travis, but of course he has his own promotion too, and that of course is Hope. They have two shows coming up, the first being on November the 1st, which I'll look at later on, and the second is a week later on November the 8th with their debut show in Kirby Ashfield at the Festival Hall. And this is Evolution 16, Keep Your Friends Close But Your Enemies Closer. Already announced for this one was Jack Jester against Al Ligero, Matt Myers against Martin Kirby, Max Angelis against Nathan Cruz, and Big Damo against Jack Gallagher. All good matches so far, and I know more than enough reason to get you there. But I can exclusively announce this week on the Indie Corner a match that's going to take place, and that is the Vulture Squad of Nixon Newell and Chris Brooks to take on The Proven, Kaz Crash and Sam Wilder. Again, for tickets for this one, head over to ringsideworld.co.uk. Moving on to HXC now. They're back on November the 23rd at the Ritz in Manchester with Voodoo Rage. Already announced was Cyanide vs Wild Boar. And they've just recently announced that the team of Bubblegum and Zach Gibson, collectively known as Lad Banter, have issued an open challenge to any team to face them. So we'll have to wait and see who takes them up on that challenge. Tickets to this one can be purchased at ticketline.co.uk, skiddle.com, or directly from the Ticketline box office on 0161 832 1111. On to IPW UK now. They are back on November the 15th with New Territory in Salsden, Surrey. They have announced that Shah Samuels will be facing Joey Ryan. Joey, of course, is currently one half of the PWG tag team titles along with Candice LeRae. Also on the show will be D&D, Kieran Donnelly and Danny Duggan, who will be taking on the Coffey Brothers, Mark and Joe. And TNA's Magnus is also set to appear. Also for the next night in Snodland, Kent, RJ Singh will face his former partner and current IPW UK All England champion, Daryl Allen, in a no-holds-barred match. For tickets for these, head over to ipwuk.com/events. Four FW have been announcing a bit recently. On January the 17th next year, seems like a while away, but it'll come up soon enough. They're back in Swindon with a show featuring the UK hooligans, Ryan Zach Knight, going up against the Lionhearts, Jason LaRusso and Eddie Ryan, plus 4FW Junior Heavyweight Champion Owen Phoenix against Mighty Skrull, which will be an outstanding match for sure. And Doug Williams and Kajo Kanemoto will also be on the show. Talking of which, on January the 4th, 4FW head to Folkestone, and those two will be facing each other. Anyone that follows the Indie Corner on Twitter will know, you know, I was marking out quite a bit when I saw that Kanemoto was over here, as he was my, you know, favourite New Japan star when I got into Japanese wrestling in the mid-90s. For more information on these shows and anything to do with 4FW, head over to their Facebook page, which is facebook.com/official4FW. What we'll do now, guys, is just head over to Philip McCulloch's review of Kamikaze Pro Bank on It 2, and then we'll be back with a bit more news. So, in a bit, guys. City, like the bow.
Thank you, Stuart. Philip McCullough here with the review of Kamikaze Pro's Money in the Bank 2, held at the Meadway Sports and Social Club. Well, it's the legal British Legion to me, and always will be. However, that is the name of the venue now, and that's where it was on Sunday the 26th of October. Absolutely stacked card. Every single match was a must-see match. First one out, Pride of Wales, Eddie Dennis against T-Bone. Must say, it was absolutely packed. I mean, mega packed. Not since Sarah Jones's 18th birthday party has it been that busy in that room. And she noshed off four geezers round the corner as well. But even before McDonald's was built, that's how awesome this venue was with the amount of people that was in there. Starting off, Pride of Wales, Eddie Dennis against T-Bone. A little bit disappointed because T-Bone spoke, kind of ruined the massive enigma. You might as well have just come out and started revealing magic tricks. Anyway, though, it was a really good match. Comical entrances, you know, lightheartedness, got the crowd involved. Really, really physical when they got down to it. I'm sure I saw the ring move a couple of times when they threw each other into the corner posts. But overall, excuse me, the Pride of Wales, Eddie Dennis, come out the winner on that one. Probably the little kid in the front row was pleased with that because T-Bone took the kid's crisps off him and then tipped him over his head. That was brilliant. That made the whole match for me. But it was a hard-fought win from Eddie Dennis. Excuse me. Up next was the Kamikaze Pro Tag Team Championships. They keep saying the Unified Championships, but there's only one tag team. It was the Miracle Violence Connection, which is Tyler Bate and Dan Maloney. Two very, very good, youthful, strong prospects there in the Miracle Violence Connection. And they were taking on former champions, the Hunter Brothers. It's a bit of a... I've always scratched my head because Dan clearly is the... he is the original bad guy. He is the supervillain. If there ever was a supervillain in the world, he is the supervillain. And Tyler Bate is the perennial good guy. And it is a bit of a weird combination. There is clearly friction in that team. The fact that they still hold the belts is probably just testament to how good they are as a team. The Hunters, you know, you got your usual high-flying moves. You got your usual beatdowns from Dan. Tyler coming. The little swingy roundabout thing and the drop kick. Tyler got a bit of that. Yeah, that was good. Other than that, it was Dan at the end was naughty, as bad guys usually are, very naughty, and tried to get Tyler to hit one of the Hunter Brothers with the belt to get the win. He didn't really need to do that. But Tyler didn't, Dan did. Referee, guess what? Referee wasn't looking. Oh, controversial. And the Miracle Violence Connection win again. There is some friction there. I don't know what's going to happen with that. But the crowd love Tyler and hate Dan. So I will leave that as it is. And you can decide. Next up, the Fighting Females match. Nixon Newell, Kamikaze Pro regular, was taking on Leah Von Dutch this time. Completely in love with Leah Von Dutch. Isn't she amazing? She's got the pose, the accent, the face. It's all working. It all works there. And it was a very, very good match. Some people are disparaging against female wrestling. But you know what? There was no mistakes in the match. It was very good, very technical. Leah Von Dutch won, which was nice for her. But she was very gracious in victory and held up Nixon's hand. And I suppose it just shows how far Nixon's come along, because some of the moves she did were very good and very nice. and the match was very pleasant to watch. And I'll shut up about that because Leah Van Dutch is lovely. Anyway, after the break was probably the most chaotic match I've... You know what? Because I've been watching wrestling at the Midway Sports and Social for about, Christ, for years, right? And the best match I ever saw at the Midway Sports and Social was for LPW, Leicester Professional Wrestling, and it was Samurai versus Nero in a loser leaves town match, and it was a ladder match, and there was some kind of contract, you know, hanging off the ceiling. And it was an amazing match, and that was got to be about 10 years ago. And I still remember it today. And this match probably defeated everything I'd ever seen live and on the telly. It was absolutely amazing. The rules were the Money in the Bank briefcase is attached to the roof where the disco ball usually is. And six people were in that match, which were Robbie X, Dynamite Pete Dunne, Chris Brooks, Damian Dunn, Flash Morgan Webster, and was meant to be my good buddy, Steve Strongbow, or as I keep being corrected, White Lightning Mark Andrews. But due to concussion, he couldn't make it. So they got Mark Andrews Jr., or Record the League Roger Richards, Ethan Silver, to take his place. Now, Ethan, I believe, is the Coventry Professional Wrestling Champion. He's got some good moves. He's got a decent physique. He's young. You know, like I mentioned, most of those guys there, Pete, Damien and Chris, being the Brumpack, being, you know, the young guys from Birmingham making a name for themselves, along with, obviously, Robbie and Flash. It was an amazing match. It was. I mean, they put their bodies on the line. There was a lot of reverse Canadian destroying. There was a lot of getting fucked over a ladder. There was a lot of shit aga on, as people in Stetchford would say. You never lose it, do you? So that was a pretty awesome match. There was Brooksy and Ethan started that match quite well, actually, and I was really willing Brooksy just to kick Ethan straight in the face and break his nose, but he didn't, the bastard. Ethan had some really, really good moves, and it was... Sometimes when there's like a six-man match, it's really difficult to showcase yourself, but they all took it in turns to showcase their wares in that match. And there wasn't too many, oh, I can't reach it, I'm going really slow. It was really, really well done, well planned out, and a really, really entertaining match, probably the best I've ever seen. That's going to take a lot of beating. Robbie X won that. A bit confusing because... You know, to win, basically, Pete Dunne was on the ladder, about to get the briefcase. Robbie X gave him a low blow. It's clearly not illegal because there's fucking ladders in use, but Robbie X won. Pete didn't like the fact that Robbie X had won. A match was made to fight for that briefcase at Frostfight 2, which is at the Cadbury Club. I'll get to that later. Then was the match I think I was looking forward to the most, which was the Scat Monkey on a Pole match. Obviously, clearly, local bad man, Marshall X, had taken the Scat Monkey and got him hooked on marijuana. And Sebastian Redclaw, Scat Monkey's sidekick, was looking to get him back. Again, ladders were in use in this match. The match was taken outside of the ring. They were fighting on tables. Clearly, both boys didn't know that the wall wasn't a real wall. It was a partition wall, so it was plasterboard. And one of the gentlemen threw each other into the wall, and there was a big human-sized hole left in the wall. A little bit like, you know, like in Tom and Jerry, when Tom ran through the wall, and there's just like a big cat. That was kind of what happened there. So maybe they'll never get invited back. Who knows? But Sebastian did win. I'll tell you what, though. Marshall almost fell into the crowd. The crowd were quite lucky and quite quick that they stopped him from falling off that pole. But Sebastian won the match. And the Scat Monkey now belongs to Sebastian once again. In that match, however, Brooksy come out and give Marshall a good kick in. That is really well built up as well, the friction between Nixon and Broxy and Marshall. Nixon did make an appearance at some point as well, and I can't remember whether it was the Money in the Bank match or the Scat Monkey, and she jumped off the ladder. She climbed up the ladder and jumped off and onto everyone, and it was awesome. And then was, I think, the match everyone was really waiting for secretly, was Ryan Smile, the 490-day Kamikaze Pro Champion and Relentless Champion, against the WWE legend, Hardcore Holly. The guy is in absolutely mint condition. He's got to be in his mid-40s now. But you know what? He's a monster. And his work in the ring was absolutely amazing. It's kind of, I grew up about 5 minutes away from the Midway Sports and Social Club. And never in my wildest dreams would I ever imagine that Bob Holly would be on my road one day. But he was. So ha to him. But very good match. Ryan was his usual self, you know, gearing up the crowd, giving them some shit, and Bob just decided to beat the living shit out of him. It was a really good match. Bob was very accommodating, and Ryan lost. Ryan lost the Alabama Slammer, should I say, as a tongue twister in itself. Hit Ryan with the Alabama Slammer and became the Kamikaze Pro Champion. And so, what's that then? Is he coming back? Is he going to take the title back to America with him? Who knows what's going to go on? However, to everyone's surprise, Robbie X came out with the Money in the Bank briefcase, hit Bob Holly over the back of the head, then done his moonsault thing, took the pin and took the win. And with that, the Kamikaze Pro Championship. Now, that kind of opens a can of worms into what's actually going to happen. On November the 22nd, which will be the final show of the year for Kamikaze Pro at the Cadbury Club, Robbie X will be defending his title. I think it's going to be against Pete Dunne. I think so. I think that's correct. I'm quite surprised that Pete isn't the champion already, but that's just me. But he, you know, but they're going to get it on. Also, Chris Hero versus Marty Scurll. I think I said that right. What's it going to do if I didn't? They're going to be getting it on. That'll be the main event, I would imagine. But the best show I've seen this year, probably the Money in the Bank ladder match, probably eclipses Zack Sabre Jr. versus Low Ki at Triple X that I saw back in whenever, August, I think. I can't remember. I've had a drink since then. But brilliant match. And if you weren't there, then, like, again, you've missed out. So get yourself over to the Cadbury Club on November the 22nd. Don't miss it. Frostfight 2. All tickets available on ringsideworld.co.uk or Skiddle. I've been Philip McCulloch. Thank you very much for listening. Back to you, Stu.
This is Damien Dunn, one half of the Dunn Brothers. Now, when I'm not trying to hit knee drops or find where my brother Pete's gone this time, I'm listening to the UK's number one independent wrestling podcast, The Indie Corner. Check it.
And we're back. Thanks to Philip for that. Sounds like a great show. Like I say, you know, they've got the next show coming up soon, and we've got some. We'll just be talking about that in a few minutes. So back to the news now. Onto Wardust Wrestling League. They, of course, have their show on November the 23rd in Harwich, and I'm reliably informed that the ring the ring entrance of Marty Scurll will be well worth the price of your ticket alone. On the show, Scurll's going to take on Will Ospreay. Also on the show, Shaw Samuels will be taking on Martin Stone. And I can exclusively reveal that Mr. Wrestling Paul Robinson will be taking on Psycho Edwards. For tickets, head over to ringsideworld.co.uk or on the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/wrestling league, and look for the tab that says buy tickets. I'm talking about Kamikaze Pro now. You may have heard Philip mentioned during his review of Bank on It 2 that at Frostfight 2 on November 22nd at the Cadbury Club in Bournville, Birmingham, new champion Robbie X will be defending against Dynamite Pete Dunne. Plus a huge match will take place on the show, which features US Indie Sensation and former NXT star Chris Hero taking on Marty Scurll. Also on the show, Marshall X will be going head-to-head with Chris Brooks. For tickets for this one, head over to ringsideworld.co.uk. Plus look out for Kamikaze Pro on Facebook and also give them a follow on Twitter, which is at Kamikaze Pro UK. On to PCW now. They have announced another all-import match for one of the two, for show two, I should say, of the Super Show of Honor Weekender, as Ring of Honor champion Jay Briscoe and his brother Mark will be taking on the current Ring of Honor tag team champions Red Dragon, Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. Also on the same show, they've announced a six-man tag, which will see Team Single, which of course is comprised of Rampage Brain and T-Bone, the current PCW Tag Team Champions, along with Bubba Gum, to take on Dave Mastiff, Dave Rain and Madman Manson. Head over to PrestonCityWrestling.com for more information and tickets for this one. On to Infinite Promotions now. They are back on November the 8th with a Hard Day's Night, or I should say a Hard Day's Fight, Round 3 at the Dome in Liverpool. And they have announced that Rampage Brain will be taking on Bubba Gum. This is also, you know, this is added to the already announced match of heavyweight champion CJ Banks against Danny Hope. And also on the show, Sam Bailey will be taking on former WWF superstar D'Lo Brown. Tickets to this one can be picked up from skiddle.com. So finally for the news, I alluded to earlier that, you know, there was a big match for Dynamite Pete Dunne to announce, and this is going to be for Tidal Championship Wrestling on December 21st at the Silent Nightmare Show in Leeds. Dunne will be facing none other than TNA's Bram in his only UK indie date while he's over here. And with this, taking Pete's place in the tag match will be Ryan Smile, as he'll team up with Damian Dunne to face the Proven. Get your tickets this front at ringsideworld.co.uk. And give, you know, Tidal a like on Facebook, which is facebook.com/Tidal Championship Wrestling. So that's it for the news, guys. Just have a quick break and then we'll be back with previews of a couple of shows coming up this weekend, which are Hulk Wrestling Evolution 15 and the big ICW show from up in the Barrowlands, Fear and Loathing 7.
It's yourself. This is Greedo, and you're listening to the UK's number one independent wrestling podcast, The Indie Corner. Hear you!
Back, guys. Like I said just before the break, what we're going to do now is some previews to the weekend shows, starting with Hulk Wrestling Evolution 15, subtitled Grand Theft Autumn, on November the 1st at the Forest Town Welfare Club in Mansfield. A good lineup here. So we'll start from what I'm considering as the bottom, as I've got this listed. Barricade will be taking on the amazing Matt Myers, exclusively announced last week. Zack Northern will be taken on Robert X. LJ Heron will be taken on Ryan Smile. Sam Wilder will be taken on the one Damian Dunne. Ashton Smith will be taken on Mikey Whiplash. the amazing Tyler Bate will be taking on CJ Banks, which I'm sure is going to be a great match. And the Hunter Brothers will be taking on the UK Hooligans, Zach and Roy Knight, who are going to be accompanied by their dad, Ricky Knight. Like I say, it's going to be a great show. If you're in or around Mansfield or willing to travel, you should do, because it's going to be a good show. Tickets for this one can be bought over at ringsideworld.co.uk. We'll also give the New Hope website a visit, hopewrestling.co.uk. On to ICW now. They've got their massive Fear and Loathing 7 show this coming Sunday the 2nd up in the Barrowlands in Glasgow. A stack show, completely sold out. We'll just go through the matches now. You got the final of the best of five series between Noam Dar and Joe Coffey. Got a 2 out of 3 falls match pitting Stevie Boy and Kaylee Ray up against Liam Thompson and Carmel Jacob. Got BT Gunkon up against Wolfgang. The New Age Clique taking on the Sumerian Death Squad. Grado against Shah Samuels. And the first of three championship matches, the first being the Zero G champion Kenny Williams going up against Big Damo, Kid Fight and Joe Hendry in a four-way. Got the ICW Tag Team Championship on the line as Paul London and Brian Kendrick will be defending against Polo Promotions, who of course are Jackie Polo and Mark Coffey. And in the main event, the heavyweight champion Jack Jester will be defending against the one and only Drew Galloway. So it's going to be a cracking show, completely sold out, so if you get a ticket between now and then, you're going to be mightily lucky. But anyone that is there, if you're listening, you know, I know you're going to have a great time and look forward to hearing, you know, stuff coming out of the show of how the show went down. So that's it for this week then, guys. Thanks for listening. What I'll do now is hand you over to Justin DiVigilio for the US Indie News. Thanks to Dave Green and Philip McCulloch for their reviews. Give us a follow on the Indie Corner at the Indie Corner on Twitter, I should say. Like us on Facebook, which is facebook.com/IndieCorner. And please support the podcast by using the Amazon banner over on theindiecorner.com. Anytime you use that banner to use Amazon, you know, it doesn't cost you any more, but it gives us a little kickback to help with the running costs of the site and the podcast. So thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for your support. Contact us on social media for any good or bad you know, feedback for the site and on the podcast. And yeah, thanks for listening. So until next week, guys, see ya.
This is the King of Old School, Steve Corino, and you're listening to the Indie Corner. And don't forget, follow us on Twitter at the Indie Corner. If you want to hear a great wrestling podcast, where else are you going to go? The Indie Corner.
Welcome, guys. Justin DiVigilio here to give this week's edition of the US Indie News segment, as we have a lot of news this week regarding various independent wrestling companies here in the United States. And the agenda for this week's show is Absolute Intense Wrestling, also known as AIW, that runs in Cleveland, Chikara, Lucha Underground, ROH, Evolve, and PWG. So let's get right into it, as here is some of the headlining matches for AIW's Hell on Earth 10 that is going to be on November 28th, 2014. As it's Ethan Carter III versus Johnny Gargano. England's own, the UK's own Rockstar Spud versus Marion Fontaine. Alex Shelley versus Josh Prohibition. A dog collar match between Ethan Page and Eddie Kingston. And there's two other matches that I can't seem to remember right now. It's not on their website. But this, I've never seen an AEW show, but Rockstar Spud, I really enjoy him. Johnny Gargano is one of my favorites. Ethan Carter III, Alex Shelley, Eddie Kingston, Ethan Page. Should be, looks like a good show. And from some of the trailers I've seen at AEW, they've been killing it all year. And another thing AEW has going is it's Save Turner's Hall campaign, as the building they run regularly for every show is Turner's Hall in Cleveland, and it's going to be shut down for, I don't know all the specifics, but you can head over to AIWrestling.com to see how you can donate. You like sign up to be like some type of investor, not an investor, but you can donate, like, I think it's $20. I think it's not an investor, what it's called, but has something like that, but you donate $20 to keep AIW in Turner's Hall. Now, to the Chikara news. As the final event of 2014 for Chikara is announced, and it's going to be on iPay-Per-View, it was announced as Tomorrow Never Dies, and it's scheduled for December 6th at the ECW, at the former ECW Arena, now just called The Arena, in Philly, where hopefully I'm going to go to this show. I don't know, but I'm going to House of Hardcore, so that's going to be cool for Chikara to return to the arena, as they haven't been there in quite some time. Now, news regarding Lucha Underground, just to remind you guys that they will be premiering October 29th at 8 o'clock Eastern Time on the El Rey Network. They're also available on Unimas. I found them on my cable provider on Unimas. It was on this Saturday, November 1st at 4 o'clock, I believe I recorded it, even though it's a Spanish language channel. I'll just watch for the wrestling because guys like Ricochet, also known as Prince Puma there, John Morrison in the WWE, known as Johnny Mundo, Matt Cross, known as Son of Havoc there, B-Boy, other guys there who I know and I enjoy watching are going to be there. Now let's get into ROH news, as ROH announced that they will be having a toy licensing, they announced a toy licensing deal, and it's going to be develop, market, and manufacture line of collectible figures for all past and present ROH wrestlers. So that's going to be pretty cool to see. I'm not really into action figures like that, but it's cool that ROH is getting their own action figures. And now, let's go to another match regarding Survival of the Fittest. This is for Night 1, Friday, November 7th, 2014. As it's TV champ Jay Lethal, part of the House of Truth, versus Hansen, one half of War Machine when Ray Rowe comes back. And this should be a good match, as Lethal is one of the best, just one of the most consistent guys today. And Hansen has been pressing over the weeks. Heard he had a good, very good match with AJ Styles at the TV tapings this past weekend. Also, news on those TV tapings, Michael Elgin was there, but I don't know what he did, but I did read what he did, but I'm not going to spoil it for anyone. Plus, it didn't really, I don't know. I'm just going to wait for it to be on TV so I can watch and judge what happens on it. Now, let's get to the news of the Evolve DGUSA China Tour that's going to occur in November, which is a pretty huge deal. It announced WWN Live announced the full lineups on Monday for the full four-show tour of China. Here's the November 10th card. It's DGUSA title match. Ricochet versus Chuck Taylor, DGUSA tag title match, Trent Beretta and Caleb Conley versus Fire Ant and Silver Ant. Shine title match, Eva Lise defends versus Sue Young. A.R. Fox and Rich Swann versus the Bravados. Evolve rating match, Johnny Gargano versus Biff Busick. Shine showcase match, Allison Kay versus Mia Yim. Also scheduled, Timothy Thatcher, Jody Christofferson, Earl Cooter, Larry Dallas, Lacey, and more. November 12th card. Main event is the DGUSA champ Ricochet and Rich Swann, Inner City Machine Guns, they're also known as, and AR Fox versus Fire Ant, Silver Ant, and Chuck Taylor in a 6-man tag. DGUSA tag title match, Trent Beretta and Caleb Conley versus the Bravados. Shine title match, Eva Lise versus Allison Kay. Evolve rating match, Biff Busick versus Timothy Thatcher. Shine showcase match, Mia Yim versus Sue Young. Tracy Williams versus Earl Cooter, also scheduled Johnny Gargano, Jody Christofferson, Larry Dallas, Lacey, and more. November 14th card, DGUSA title match, Ricochet versus Aaron Fox, FIP title match, Trent Beretta versus Rich Swann, Johnny Gargano versus Chuck Taylor grudge match, Fire Ant and Silver Ant versus the Bravado Brothers, Evolve rating match, Timothy Thatcher versus Caleb Conley, Shine showcase tag match, Eva Lisa and Mia Yim versus Allison Kay and Sue Young, also scheduled Biff Busick, Jody Christopherson, Okuda, Larry Daniels, Lacey, and more. November 16th card, DGUSA title match, Ricochet vs. Johnny Gargano, which I believe is Johnny Gargano's rematch for his title. DGUSA tag title match, Trent Barreta and Caleb Conley vs. The Colony vs. The Bravados. Shine title match, Eva Lise vs. Mia Yim, Biff Busey vs. Timothy Thatcher. Evolve rating match, Rich Swann vs. A.R. Fox. Evolve rating match, Chuck Taylor vs. Jody Christopherson. Also scheduled, Allison Kay, Sue Young, Earl Cooter, Larry Darius, Lacey, and more. And now to the PWG news. As they announced the full card for the next show, which is going to be the last show of 2014, most likely, as it is going to be on December 12th, obviously in Reseda, California. And here's the full lineup, as it will be PWG title match, Kyle O'Reilly defending it versus 2014 Bola winner Ricochet. PWG tag title match, World Cutest Tag Team, Joey Ryan and Candice LeRae defending against The Addiction, Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. Chris Sabin and Matt Sydal versus The Young Bucks. Brian Cage versus Biff Busick versus Uha Nation versus Tommaso Ciampa in a four-way match. Bobby Fish versus Roderick Strong. Adam Cole versus Cedric Alexander. Chris Hero versus Trevor Lee. The returning Trent and Johnny Gargano and Chuck Taylor versus Rich Swann, A.R. Fox, and ACH in a six-man tag. This card looks awesome as usual. I'm happy that they brought back Uha Nation after his debut at the past show in the past 2 weeks or so. And the six-man tag with Trent, Gargano, Taylor versus Swann, Fox, and ACH should be amazing, and the Young Bucks, Sabin and Sydal, and O'Reilly versus Ricochet. Honestly, this whole card looks great, and I'm just so happy to have become a PWG fan. And I found them, and it's awesome. Also, good luck to the WWN Live crew, all those guys going to China. Hopefully they do great, as this is a really big deal that China hasn't really seen wrestling. That I don't know if it's professional wrestling is very popular there, so that's a big deal for them. Also, the stuff with ROH that they're doing is going to be great, and Chikara coming back this year, AIW doing pretty good, so indies are looking pretty good so far as the year is coming to a close in the coming months. So thanks for listening, guys. You can follow me on Twitter at JDVirgilio4, at JDIVIRGILIO4. And, you know, you can see me on the Indie Corner writing ROHD reviews and indie wrestling articles. I actually have thought of an idea, and I'm going to get to doing that in the coming days. So thanks for listening. Support the Indie Corner. Support independent wrestling. And I'm out. I wish it all away. God, you ain't the worst of me.